Our scripture this morning comes from 2 Kings 13, 14 through 21. 2 Kings 13, 14 through 21. Now Elisha was suffering from the illness from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father," he cried, "the chariots and horsemen of Israel." Elisha said, "Get a bow and some arrows," and he did so. "Take the bow in your hands," he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. "Open the east window," he said, and he opened it. "Shoot," Elisha said, and he shot. "The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram," Elisha declared. "You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek." Then he said, "Take the arrows," and the king took them. Elisha told them, "Strike the ground." He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times." Elisha died and was buried. Now Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. Once, while some Israelites were burying a man, suddenly they saw a band of raiders, so they threw the man's body into Elisha's tomb. When the body touched Elisha's bones, the man came to life and stood up on his feet.
Father God, we pray that your word will speak to us this morning. Touch us and revive us through the power of your word. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Name above every name. Amen. The prophet Elisha has served God for about 60 years. His ministry had truly impacted the life of Israel. During the course of his life, he had taught and mentored all the prophets, and he had lived through the reign of six kings. He had been a shining light during the darkest hours of Israel. His age is not really told, but we believe he was between 80 and 90 years old. And as we just read, the king Joash was a king during this time, and he too, like many of the other kings before him, the Bible says they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. However, when he heard that the prophet of Israel was sick with an illness and was about to die, right away he went to see him. Upon seeing him, he wept over him. This was a sign of his valued affection for this faithful man of God. The prince of preachers, Charles Spurgeon, commented on this passage of scripture, and this is what he said: "This prophet died gently, worn out with age, but there is something very beautiful about his death. A king weeps over his aged face. He has a pleasure, though it was mingled with pain, of helping to deliver his people." King Joash lamented the death, the illness of the prophet of Israel, using the same words that Elisha had used when Elijah was about to be taken up. If you remember that, he said, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." Elisha responded to this lament with an instruction. He ordered the king to take a bow and an arrow, a sign that God would be with the agent, but Joash was to be the instrument. Elisha directed him to shoot the arrow. Elisha put his hand upon the king's hand to signify that in all his dealings with the enemies, he must always look up to God for direction and for strength. We live in a world now more than ever that we want to do it our way, like Frank Sinatra used to sing. Even Christians in the body of Christ, we want to do it that way too. But yet the call is to do it God's way. And to allow God to put his hand of mercy, provision, power, strength over us. As a matter of fact, Moses, as he was being called to take the Hebrew children out of captivity, it doesn't say if it was night or day, but I'm thinking it was one of those nights he couldn't sleep, he couldn't take it anymore. And he said, oh God, if you're not going with us, if your hand of protection is not going to be upon us, we'd rather not go. And this was the same situation. The trembling hands of the dying prophet upon the king's hands. It's also a symbol of the union that must exist between God and his people. The power of God gave this arrow more force than the hands of the king in his full strength. Elisha, being a wise man, then tries the king. And he says to him to strike the arrow to the ground. The king did it 3 times and then stopped. Only 3 times, probably without passion. His actions really disappointed the prophet. And many of us also do likewise. We're called to do something, whatever it might be in the body of Christ or in life. And when the situations get tough, we give up. We want to go the other way. We don't want to do it anymore. Instead of running the race that is set before us with endurance, we stop, we give up at the first sign of trouble. I've always been touched by a story I read many years ago, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. It was October 20th, 1968, at 7 p.m., a few thousand spectators remain in the Mexico City Olympic Stadium. It was almost dark. The last of the marathon runners were stumbling in across the finish line. Finally, they heard the wail of sirens and police cars. As eyes turned to the gate, a lone runner wearing the colors of Tanzania staggered into the stadium. His name was John Stephen Akwari. He was the last contestant to finish the 26 miles, 385-yard contest. His leg has been injured in a fall. There was blood covering him as he ran the final lap around the track. Those who were left in the stadium rose up, began to cheer and applaud as though he were the winner after he had crossed the finish line. Someone from the news ran to him. They wanted an interview. Go figure. And he was asked why he had not quit. He replied, My country did not send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish the race. In the same manner, you and I have been called to finish the race. As parents, godparents, grandparents, spouses, friends, or as we serve Christ in his body. Sometimes it gets tough. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It gets tough. Life at times gets very hard. But on the other hand, life is beautiful. All we need to do is when we get out of here, as you walked out the door, just look up. Look at the sky. Look at the clouds. Or take time to look into Angelina's face. This is the kingdom of God at hand. Jesus said that we must be like children to enter into the kingdom of God. I wish you would have seen her face, how intently she was looking at me as I was speaking the promises of God over her life. I couldn't help but to think, oh God, if I would look into you so intently. If I would only keep my eyes on you when everything else around me is falling apart, so that I could continue on the race. You see, we have a choice. Because you and I are here this morning by divine appointment. We could easily be dodging life and the devil's darts. Or we could confront them so that we can overcome them with God's help. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:37 that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Because the king gave up too soon, even though he could have won the battle, he didn't. He did not run the race holding on to the promises of God. Instead, he tried running the race based on his own strength. And the same will happen to us in life. Because in case you haven't noticed or found out, life is hard. We need God, and we need each other. So that when we don't have the faith, the strength, the power, the energy to carry on, someone else will come and hold our hands and say, but I have the faith for you. I will carry you through it. That's what the family of God is all about. Unlike Elijah, who was taken into heaven without seeing death, Elisha did see death. As we read, he died of an illness. Afterwards, as he was the culture in those days, his body was wrapped and placed, they were like caves with a stone in front. His body was placed there. And the Bible tells us that sometime later, one day, when neighbors were carrying the dead body of a man to the grave, they heard that the Moabites were coming to invade them. And they were so scared that they opened the first grave they found, and they basically casted through the body of that dead man onto that grave. Little did they know that it was the grave of the great prophet of Israel, the prophet Elisha. The Bible says when the bones came in contact, that dead man came back to life. I wasn't there, but I figure he got up. He said, "Praise the Lord, I'm going home." This is a peculiar yet an extraordinary kind of miracle. There isn't much of an explanation about it, other than to say that Elisha's memory was truly honored. What a great end to the life of a man who lived to please God. Even after death, he was still an instrument of God. God used his bones as a point of contact to perform another miracle. Remember, as a young man, Elisha wanted a double portion that Elijah had, and it was granted to him. Elijah performed 8 major miracles, and Elisha 16 major miracles. Just like God used this unconventional man to do great ministry and miracles, he wants to use us too. Sometimes, you know, in life we go through the motions because we were born into the church. We use all kinds of labels to let people know what we believe, whether we're Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of Christ, Assemblies of God, all that. And all that is good, it's all man-made. But the bottom line is, do we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we really know him? Truly know him? And do we know where we're headed? I've sat many times holding hands of people who are dying. Different ages. Some have been young, and some have been old. And most of them have been Christians that went to church. The saddest part is that some of them were terrified of death, because they didn't know where they were going. They didn't have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Do we truly know him? And today, do we accept the invitation to truly serve him? To put our hands in his hands and walk with him? I'd like to invite you this morning, right where you are, remain seated, and open your hands like this as a symbol that if you want to, if you are ready to receive from him, and also as a symbol of releasing all those things that are keeping us from totally surrendering to him. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for speaking to us today. Forgive us for the so many times that we have allowed people and things to come between us. Today we hear you speak to us, asking us, would you go forth with me? Would you go forth for me? Would you put your hand on mine and walk with me? Would you do what I call you to do in my name so others would be blessed? As we have released those things and people that keep us from following you, now we pray that you will come and fill our hearts with your presence, and that you will give us the will and the desire to serve you. to honor you, to go forth with you until the day you call us home. And we hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. This we ask you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand and join me for our closing hymn, Go Forth for God.